this episode 45 of Crashcast. I'm Ian Pritchard, and as always, Ross Alexander.
Hello.
Usually we go straight in and talk about what we've played and all that gaming stuff, but I think, considering the news that has come out recently, we should probably talk about some of that movie stuff that's going on. Most specifically, I'm thinking Batman.
All right, okay.
Because it's only a picture, but the internet seems to have lost its mind over it.
Sad man.
Do you not like it?
No. It's more the fact that all the memes have been about how miserable he looks. I know it's Batman.
He does look properly sad.
He always looks annoyed, at least.
But he does look especially depressed in this picture, like someone's just killed his puppy or something. I can't believe someone killed
Or indeed...
On Batman.
Or indeed, both his parents.
Oh, it could be that, yeah. But if, in fairness, I mean, it wouldn't make it... If they just killed his parents and he was already dressed like a bat, then, you know, he's got different problems
foreshadowing. That's what that is.
I'm dressed like a bat just in case my parents get killed. And while I am sad that my parents are dead, I am glad now that I have the
kind of vindicates the outfit.
Yeah, it does a little bit. And the car, although the car's pretty pimped.
Yeah.
But just out of interest, what do you think?
I'm waiting for more, obviously, as most people are.
Yeah. But first impressions?
Distinctive.
Yep.
That's good. I really don't know what to make of it. It doesn't look bad.
I couldn't be any more positive about it.
People are saying it looks like a fat bat, but I think it looks more...
It looks like...
Like a top-down view of a bat. Like a bat in flight.
What, almost. On his chest?
Yeah.
It looks exactly the same as the Frank Miller one, doesn't it? Because the Frank Miller Batman, I thought it was like... That's what it's based on. Like, you know, like the Batman...
Versus Superman.
Bat in the Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Because that he had a huge bat sign. And I remember when they did the reveal for Batman Superman... It was the Superman symbol, and it was on that Frank Miller-style bat symbol originally.
Okay.
And that's what he looks like he's got on his chest. I mean, I thought with the ears, the cowl, and the chest, I thought...
It certainly looks good.
Yeah, it could. I thought it couldn't look any more like the actual Frank Miller Batman. And for that reason, I'm, like, over the moon. And I love the fact that he looks so big. Because, again, like, when you think of the Frank Miller Batman, like, he's an older Batman, but he's all big and, like, he's, powerful kind of thing, you know?
He's a
big lump of a kind
Beefy.
Of Batman. Yeah, and that's what he is in this.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he can kick some ass.
Yeah.
Like, fair play to Ben Affleck. I'm not sure how much of it's the suit, but the boy's in fucking shape. Like, he looks massive. I love the look of the car as well. Like, I honestly think it looks like the best combination of Tim Burton's car...
Yeah.
And of Nolan's kind of tumbler.
In that it has the rounded bits of Tim Burton's car.
Yeah. Like, because nobody wants to see another Schumacher abomination.
No.
Like, it looks like a classic Batmobile, like something along like the animated versions.
Yeah.
But it has that kind of industrial aspects of the Nolan car where you think, okay, it looks like cool and stuff, but it looks like, you know, it could do some damage as well.
Yeah.
It's not just looks. Because, you know, as great as like Tim Burton's Batmobile was, and that is my favourite Batmobile. It's all looks, isn't it? Like, it didn't look like... I mean, God help you trying to park that. And it didn't particularly look like he was going to drive through a wall.
Yeah, the
coolest thing he'd probably do was the shields thing. That was pretty sweet.
The what thing?
The shields, you know, when he just walked past and everyone goes to, like, look at his car and he just shoots.
Oh, yeah.
And just... Well, they can't see me doing the hand thing. If you've seen the original, I know what I'm talking about. But the thing is, though, I guess with Zack Snyder films, like, visuals are never the problem.
Yeah,
they
always look great.
They always, like, you know, Superman, I thought the suit looked great, and I thought the film was good, but storytelling usually is, like, characterization, shall we say, is usually his issue.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're not going to find out about this, because, you know, I still think that The Man of Steel had arguably one of the best trailers of all time. But the film, while good... wasn't as good as I'd hoped.
To be honest, people hoped for a lot. People always hope for a lot from Superman, and it never lives up to it. I think Man of Steel was an okay movie in a lot of ways. Some people just outright despise it.
I lean more towards, like, I think it's good.
Yeah.
I was just hoping it was...
I've watched it twice.
I've seen it like three times now.
But the second time I watched it, I didn't enjoy it as much.
I think I enjoyed it more second time around, funny enough. Yeah, I think because I didn't have those like, I went to the cinema thinking this is going to be the greatest one of all time. And it wasn't. It was still good, but it wasn't the greatest one of all time. And that's what I'm kind of worried is going to happen to me tomorrow with Godzilla. Because the reviews have come in, and most of them have been good, but there have been a couple of stinking reviews as well. The Guardian gave it an especially negative review. But, you know, if at the start of the year, if you had said to me, I can only watch one film this year, it would have been Godzilla.
Really?
Yeah, that would have been, like, I was really, like...
I suppose you are a closet weeaboo, so...
A closet what?
You're obsessed with Japanese culture.
What did you call it?
A weeaboo.
A weeaboo.
Right, And I'll have to say this because apparently, in some circles, it's a derogatory term. It's an insult.
Are you being racist to me and I just don't realise?
I think
you just dropped the equivalent of an N-bomb on me and I just have no idea.
It would more be like calling you a
wigger.
Yes.
Yeah. You can say wigger, it's fine.
Yeah.
I think.
Can we say someone wigger? Who makes wigs, right?
Yeah. Well, even like a lot of that's in the press at the moment in terms of what you can say, and they're on about with the BBC having double standards. Supposedly, you can drop the N-bomb as long as it ends with an A. Because
that's how gangsters use it.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure quite how that works.
It's a word.
I'm not going to start dropping that on the podcast, by the way. Well, each time I say it, I'd just like to specify that was pronounced with an A at the end, not an ER. The same with wigaboo, I think. Is there a special...
I've never, ever heard that.
No, what did
term.
You... I
Weeaboo.
Weeaboo. I'm just making up words now. Although I quite like wigaboo. I don't know what it means yet, but if I'm going to make up a racist term, it's going to be wigaboo. I just need to apply it to something now.
Yeah. Well. Jesus. it's like a Caucasian, like Western person.
Mm-hmm.
Western, I guess. It doesn't need to be Caucasian. But that is obsessed with Japanese culture.
Why is it called a wigaboo?
Weeaboo.
No. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I have no idea.
Because, you know, most of them, like, wigger, that, like, you hear that and you're like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
I don't hear weeaboo and think, oh, yeah, that's...
To be honest,
that's a cracker. Japan.
It's probably some kind of bastardization of a Japanese term.
Yeah, probably. Well, yes, I mean, if that's the case, I am slightly weeaboo-ish.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that makes any sense. But, you know,
you're certainly a filthy gaijin.
Oh, I'm a goddamn filthy gaijin. I'm the worst of them. The goddamn worst of them. But no, I think it was because I watched, like, and I've done the same with the X-Men movie. X-Men Apocalypse? No, that's the next
one. Wait, the one that's coming soon?
Yeah.
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, sorry.
That's probably the film that I would have to see.
I do really want to see it.
Look at the cast. That is, like, one of the most amazing assembled casts. Ever.
It does. It is like when you see it on the side of buses, you just think it's amazing how many like massive Hollywood stars have been pushed into the background simply because there were so many stars in that film. But I've done the same thing with that and Godzilla. I've only watched the teaser trailers.
Yeah.
And I just decided I'm not gonna watch it anymore.
Yep.
So I found out by accident that there are other monsters in Godzilla and shit like that.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
I was like, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen Godzilla really on screen. I've just saw that first that amazing teaser trailer when the special ops guys are falling through the clouds.
Yeah.
I love that.
And you just
trailer.
Hear the scream.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Like, I think that's what made me like so excited. I thought I like tonally. Visually, everything looks amazing here.
I'd love to have some insight for you because Cara and I, we went to go and see it at the pictures last night,
mm-hmm.
But it was sold out.
Oh, like, I booked tickets for
like
tomorrow morning.
3D
so.
And 2D and the next 3D
really?
Like IMAX showing.
I'll
were
be
all
interested
sold out.
To see how it does. I mean, because Gareth Edwards obviously has no real.
I think it's going to have a good opening weekend anyway.
Yeah, I think so. It's obviously all off the, like, it'll be word of mouth and obviously how big a name Godzilla is. Because how many people are like, oh yeah, Godzilla, that guy who made monsters. You know, not many people want to. I mean, it was a very low budget film. It was actually...
To be fair though, how well did King Kong do? I'd say that King Kong is equally, you know, well known in the West.
Well, King Kong had Peter Jackson behind it as well. So,
yeah, but it was crap.
That was crap. And this has had pretty...
Black in a dramatic role. What the hell?
It wasn't a great... It had its moments.
And Adrian Brody.
I like Adrian Brody.
I don't mind Adrian Brody, but when was the last time you saw a film and was like, oh, yes, Adrian Brody's in it. I'm definitely going to see it.
That wasn't the problem with that, because I don't think that film needed stars necessarily, because the whole point was the star is supposed to be King Kong, isn't
it?
But, you know, Naomi Watts was fine, and I thought Adrian Brody was fine.
It's kind of the film that made her famous, isn't it?
Well, didn't she? I mean, I kind of moved her on to I guess more Hollywood, because she'd already been in stuff like Mulholland Drive and stuff like that. But I guess that kind of, she may have been in something before. But yeah, probably made her that much more famous. But I agree, Jack Black was horribly miscast in that film. But he wasn't the only problem with that film. It was too long.
Well, there was the horrible spin-off video game as well.
That wasn't bad. The Ubisoft one.
Now, when you say it wasn't bad, is this purely because you managed a 1,000-point achievement?
No, I had it on the 360. The original Xbox beforehand.
Wow, okay.
I thought it was quite a good game. As far as movie tie-ins, it looked good. Yeah, it looked good. There was like a decent... Like, the bits when you were King Kong were fantastic. But considering how bad that could have been...
The prospect of fighting a T-Rex is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, going back, I'm thinking it was probably somewhere like, if I was going to review it now, like 7, 7.5, something like that. Like, I remember liking it at the time. Wow. It might be one of those games I could go back now and be like, oh my God.
Yeah,
The time, I remember being pleasantly surprised by that game.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's weird though, because, like, you know, back then, like, any big, and that's not that long ago, any major film would have had a video game tie-in.
Yeah.
None of these, like, there's no X-Men game. Like, you're more likely to get, like, iPhone apps.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like
that. Yeah.
But you don't get, like, a Godzilla video game. Like, the closest we've had to those recently are the kind of, like, the Yuke's ones. And I'm thinking, maybe Godzilla will be brought to, like, arcade in the same way. Because
mm-hmm.
there was, like, a Real Steel one, and there was a, Pacific Rim. And they're just basically simple beat-em-ups.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And you think maybe they'll do the same with Godzilla, perhaps. And those games were... they were okay, very arcadey kind of thing, but especially Real Steel, for a film which wasn't very good, it's one of those games which always shows up near the top of the arcade charts. It's like,
surely the game was made ages ago and it was called Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
That was basically it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It really was it. I mean, it's odd that they based it, although that film again was basically, unsurprisingly, Rocky with robots, but it was watchable
mm-hmm.
as a kind of family film. But yeah, I've still got high hopes for Godzilla, very high hopes for, well, X-Men, I don't know. I've kind of been half burned by the X-Men films because...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, X2 was, you know, notoriously brilliant. I really liked First Class. I was very I mean, everyone hates Wolverine Origins. That was shit.
Yeah, Wolverine I loved.
I did not... I wanted to love it. I was like, oh, you know, it's based on this great storyline. It's set in Japan, you know, with me being a wigaboo. I should have been all over it.
Jesus.
But it was like... the end in particular, the bit with the silver samurai, it just all fell a bit flat for me. Like, the film was good.
And that they'd spent so much time building it up.
Yeah.
And all you really see is Viper through the whole film.
Yeah. Like, it was just one of those films, like, it was fine, but it never quite caught me as I was hoping it would. Like, it was like a solid, entertaining 3-star film. I watched it and forgot about it. But when I saw, like, the posters and the way they were talking about it, I was like, oh, this looks amazing.
Yeah.
And, again, much better than Wolverine... Origins, beyond that, but still not good.
I really like the Wolverine. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
I can see how you, but like
Days of Future Past is based on like one of the best X-Men storyline comic books.
Yeah, but wasn't X-Men 3 based on one of the best comic book story arcs with like the Phoenix and stuff, and then that turned out to be a complete shitbag?
I'm pretty sure it was a bastardization of the.
No, it was a bastardization, but you know, just because somebody says it's based on a great storyline does not mean, you know, it was like Fantastic Four 2. Look, oh, look, we've got the Silver Surfer and Galactus is in it, and it was like, oh, this might be awesome. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not great. Although, I do find this one strangely watchable. They're not very good, the Fantastic Four films, but they have this kind of light airiness.
I've watched half of the first one and just gave up.
I've seen them both, and I watched the first one again recently. And for all intents and purposes, it's a pretty shit film.
Yeah.
But it is easy to watch in that family-friendly kind of way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes... And, you know, that's what I hope the new one still retains, that kind of light-heartedness.
The only kind of casting that I quite liked about the Fantastic Four was Michael Chiklis, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Griffith as Mr. Fantastic. I was like, what? And Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba.
Anything?
That was the worst bit of casting. I thought was Jessica Alba. She didn't work. Chris Evans as Johnny Storm. He's killed it as Marvel characters, like in two completely diametrically opposed Marvel characters, and he's absolutely smashed it as both.
But Johnny Storm, I think, is quite a 2D character. I don't think there's much there.
Well, no, but as part of that film, like playing the kind of cocky brother, I thought he did well. Like he was the most charismatic of the bunch. And the best scene of the two films is actually one with him in it where he's chasing the Silver Surfer from the trailer. That's easily the best bit. But yeah, we won't go too far into that because it's not great. Other films and stuff. I went to see The Wind Rises this week, which is the last Hayao Miyazaki film that he's directing, Ghibli film. It was very good, minus 20 minutes towards the end when it kind of lost its way, but absolutely gorgeous. But don't take your kids to go see it, because despite being animated, it's not a kid's film at all.
I didn't even see that at the pictures. Do you need to go to like an art house cinema to see it?
No, it was out in I went to see it in Cineworld, but it was only out for like a week or two.
Ah, right, okay.
But, I don't think it's going to be to everyone's taste. It's certainly not another Spirited Away or, you know, Totoro. It's more grounded.
Yeah.
And it takes on more serious themes. Although I would arguably say that the film falls down because the most obvious theme, it doesn't chase enough, but I'm not going to go into too much detail there. I suddenly, like, I really keep telling myself, like, I'm done with Transformers. I don't want to see any more. I watched the new trailer, the end of the new trailer, where Grimlock and Optimus Prime are just kicking ass. I'm like, oh, okay, fuck yeah, that looks amazing. Like, the film itself is the usual Michael Bay. Like, I hate all those slow-mo panning shots from down below and stuff with the sun shining. Like, and his daughter's, again, like, a little bit too hot to be believable. Kind of thing. No, it's not that she's hot, it's just... She always looks like she's been done up like a supermodel at all times, and she's supposed to like live out in the Midwest. I just don't fucking
know. That happens all the time in movies, though.
Yeah, but he goes too far. It was like, I could just about buy... who was the one from the first one? A filthy girl.
Oh, Megan Fox. Fox.
Yeah, she's filth. But I could just
she
about...
She is filth.
Oh, she is filth. No, she's one of those girls, she has one level, and it's filth.
Yeah.
Like, she's just sexy. She'll never be cute or beautiful. She's just sexy filth. The thing is, I could almost buy it. I'm like, okay, she was the hot girl in school, and she fell for Witwicky kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then the second one, he gets another supermodel who was even, like, and she wasn't hot in that same way. She was, like, supermodel hot, which is, like, not necessarily my taste, but...
Painfully skinny.
Yeah, and, like, oh, my God, this fucking Shayla Booth's nailed another model, get the fuck... Like, all these robots, and all I'm bitching about is the fact that I can't believe that Shayla Booth has fucked two hot chicks on the dance. I'm not buying it. But, yeah, I mean, beyond that, the bits with Optimus Prime and the dinosaurs look pretty sweet.
Grimlock looks very different, but... They all look very different.
Yeah, it was never going to... I don't think it would have worked.
But a T-Rex that spits fire, that's pretty cool.
There's a nice nod at the start, though, with Optimus Prime obviously hiding out in his, like, the original form.
Yeah.
Like, looks like the original truck kind of thing. I thought that was pretty sweet. But I guess, being that we're talking about films, we should briefly mention Star Wars, you know. Star what now? I can't get too excited about this at the moment because we don't know anything.
I am desperately trying to avoid... I know I'm not going to be able to.
That's one thing
I want to know as little as possible going in.
I'm
going to be there day one.
Oh, yeah, without question. The thing is, I was talking to my friend about this. I was like, more and more films now, I try and steer clear of all the trailers. Because, like, you know, I'll watch the teaser trailer.
Yeah.
But then after that, I'm like, you know, if I see it in the cinema, so be it. But there's just too many trailers, they show too much. But it's like, could I honestly steer clear of Star Wars? Like, even if I could physically, would I be able to do it myself?
Yeah.
Like, if I could shut myself in a closet and not say anything about Star Wars until it came out, would I choose to? Because if there's a new trailer out for Star Wars, there is no fucking way I'm going to be able to sit there and say, nah, I'll just wait for the film. This is not going to happen.
The problem I have is that, you know, I get most of my news from places like IGN and the Nerdist and stuff. So a lot of the time their new stuff will pop up in my feed. So I'm going to know casting news like the day after it happens and stuff.
I don't mind casting news, but it's more, as we've mentioned before, about these extended trailers where they show you too much of the film. Mm. But I don't know. Like, I would just like to see the equivalent of, like, an episode one trailer. Like, that, whatever you say about the film afterwards, the trailer was fucking tight.
That
made me so excited about
it. I watched the thing, and it says, someone has edited down the first three episodes to make it even better. And it was literally all the Darth Maul, Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan fight.
Yeah.
Just spliced together.
Oh, nice. Well, that's still the best fight scene.
Yeah.
That's one of the best scenes of the whole saga. And it just happens to be in the worst movie.
Yeah.
That film's got its moments, but it's got a lot of problems. And believe me, I know. I went to the cinema to watch it again when it came out in 3D. And
A 9-year-old saved the world by mistake.
I know.
Oh, fantastic.
It was really bad. That bit when he's just accidentally blowing everything up. I'm just like,
oops. Oops.
Fucking lame.
Oh, little bastard.
That was really bad. Really bad. But no, I mean, you know, the cast is... I don't think it's... incredibly surprising. A lot of, you know, relative unknowns. You know, Domhnall Gleeson, who's best known from, like, Harry Potter. He played a good role in Judge Dredd, or Dredd, the good one. He was, like,
oh, he was the eyes kind of thing.
But he's, you know, Brendan Gleeson's son. I fucking love Brendan Gleeson. Yeah. So, you know, if he's half...
You want to be your dad, right?
I do want Brendan Gleeson to be my dad. So, you know, I wouldn't mind being brothers with Domhnall Gleeson, obviously. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. I hope I am. What are you thinking for him? Are we thinking, like, the equivalent of, like, the Luke character? Like, a Jedi? Like, he's got that waifish kind of... like, he looks like he could be a Skywalker, almost.
I haven't looked into it. I know names.
No, I'm just going based on literally on how they look and like what they've been in the past. Like the most interesting one,
there's the guy with the big nose who was on some British show, right?
Adam Driver.
Oh, no, he's in Girls.
Is that Adam Driver? Like, I know Adam Driver's from Inside Llewyn Davis. Max von Sydow is
Max the von Sydow, really old one. If Max von Sydow is not a Sith Lord,
he'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
He has to be either a Sith or a Jedi, doesn't he?
He has to be. He can't be. To be honest,
he can't, like, unless he's like some unknown Jedi, that would make
sense. If it wasn't for the fact that they had Christopher Lee playing Dooku, I think Max von Sydow is kind of like a poor man's Christopher Lee.
I don't think he's going to be a Sith. You know, I think he's going to be like some. I think he's going to be a bad guy, but I think he'll be like the head of, you know, the equivalent of like the Imperial kind of, I don't know, something like that. Like, you know, very much of the commander type, but on the bad side of the fence.
Well, they've said that they're totally overwriting all the old canon.
Mm-hmm.
So I can absolutely not predict where they're going.
Yeah, which is good. And the only thing with Max von Sydow, like, dude's 85. So, you know.
Christopher Lee's in his 80s as well.
Yeah, but he's 85 now, and like we're talking about like 6-7 years of shooting. Like, I don't want to be a dick, but you know, when you're 85, you're rolling the dice. Like, you're just at that age.
Yeah.
Like, something can happen at 85. Like, yeah. That sounds horrible, but I guess they've got to kind of plan against that to a certain degree. But I think the most exciting one is John Boyega, who's, I guess, obviously most famous from Attack the Block. Well, I'm not just
that's the one that, who's from a British thing, yeah.
I'm not like saying this now just because in Star, like we went to see Beth and my wife and I went to see that at the cinema, and both loved the film. But there's the one thing we came out and said, like, there's something about him. He's got like charisma, and he's got like a screen presence. And you saw if anyone in this film, because you know they're all like unknowns and stuff, no one's gonna break out. It's gonna be him because he's just got that something on screen.
I still kind of find it a little bit depressing now that they haven't brought Billy Dee Williams back, so it's still the one token black guy in the cast.
Yeah, but you got to think, they've obviously got like a 3-film plan.
Yeah,
like they don't have to bring him back in the first film. The thing is, they've got to reintroduce all the old characters, and you've got to have, you know, you immediately think Han, Leia, Luke, and you've got to reintroduce all these other ones. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why you can't come in Empire Strikes Back style again in the second film. And be reintroduced that way. Like, just because he's not coming in necessarily for the first film. And even then, maybe they just...
In the books, to be honest, he fucks off and does his own thing. Mm-hmm. And Han kind of has to re-recruit him.
Yeah. Well, and again, it could be one of those, like, you know, they could be keeping it on the down low.
Yeah.
Because they've done enough fan service to... They don't have to announce Billy Dee Williams, get folk on board. That could be, like, one of those cool surprises where he shows up and, like... You know, a scene like
in this one, they're actually going to have the real ghost of Alec Guinness.
That'd be amazing.
They'll have a seance.
Don't ask us how we've done it, but we do have dead Alec Guinness, which is going to be pretty sweet. That I know. Yeah, Star Wars. Obviously, we won't go into it too much because
Andy Serkis as well,
and Oscar Isaac, who is, you know, obviously Inside Llewyn Davis has made him that much more famous, but he was in Drive, he was in Sucker Punch.
I actually watched Oscar Isaac, like, we couldn't see Godzilla, so we went to see The Two Faces of January, which wasn't so good.
Oh, no.
But he was in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I watch again recently? Oh, I watched Django Unchained. That's completely off topic. Because I watched it last night, I was just trying to remember what I watched. That film's really good. I've seen it before. Go see it if you haven't, by the way. Yeah, so we're done on Star Wars for now.
Yeah.
We'll come back to it when we, you know, we all have more news and more to talk about. I guess at this point we usually go to what we've played. I've been playing NES Remix and NES Remix 2 on my Wii U. They're both awesome. I cannot wait to play Mario Kart. Like, the reviews have been amazing. It looks
I kind of want to come over to your house just to play it.
Oh yeah, you'll have to come out.
This is just a thing. For £200, you can get a Wii U 32GB, Mario Kart 8, and a digital download of, there's a selection of them, but one of them is Wind Waker.
Yeah,
HD.
It comes with with all new copies of Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So I'll be getting Mario Kart, and I've got Wind Waker and stuff, but I think I'll be able to get like Pikmin 3 and shit like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's an amazing deal. The game looks absolutely, like, the first time in like a long time, that regardless of, you know, what you say about the Wii U's power, that they've got a game which looks genuinely...
It looks as good as it possibly could. It looks
If someone told you that was an Xbox One game, you would not bat an eyelid.
No.
Other than the fact that it's Mario. But you know like what I mean, like in terms of visual fidelity.
It looks as good as a Mario Kart game could conceivably look.
Yeah, put it this way, it looks a step up from like the last gen.
Yeah.
Because like, people think of the Wii U as a last gen console. It obviously has more
growth. It's the first HD Mario Kart.
Although, in fairness, Nintendo have always had the knack of getting more out of their own consoles. Like, you know, how ugly were the majority of Wii games? And then suddenly you get to like Mario Galaxy and be like, fuck, how have they done this on the Wii? You know, it just looks so much better. But yeah, Mario Kart looks absolutely phenomenal. I cannot wait to get that. And my friend actually went out and bought that deal, the £200 deal, which is a fantastic deal.
That is amazing for well, I say a new console. Mm-hmm. It's still a relatively new console.
Yeah, it's been out for, what, a year and a half. And the thing is, I mean, I would never suggest it beyond a second console. But as a second console, it's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I literally use it as a Nintendo box, and as a Nintendo box again, I'm very happy.
The fact that I could play Mario Kart on it and play Zelda Wind Waker HD on it,
mm-hmm.
that would kind of sell it for me.
Well, those two games alone, like Mario Kart, I mean, I haven't played it yet, but everything suggests it's going to be amazing. Wind Waker's fantastic, looks brilliant in HD. Mario Land, 3D Mario World is a phenomenal game.
I've played that. It's okay. I get kind of bored with Mario.
Oh, I mean, you know, if you're into Mario, I think that's an amazing game. It's not quite there with, like, Galaxy, but it's still brilliant. And even the 2D ones, like Luigi U, Mario U, these are still fantastic
games. I just get frustrated with those ones.
Oh, if I play with Bethany, yeah. Donkey Kong's fantastic game as well. You know, so if you're just after Nintendo games, these are really well-made Nintendo games. These aren't lesser Nintendo games.
I really want to... I kind of want a 3DS just to play the golf one.
Oh, golf games are amazing.
Because it's been getting really good reviews.
It's ace.
You download the demo.
Did
you get it?
No, I've downloaded the demo, but I am going to buy it.
But you've got a shitload of credit, so...
Yeah. I might just wait for it. But one way or another, I am going to get it because it's absolutely awesome. And I think it's the kind of game you could totally get lost in. But the thing is, I mean, I'm like... Because I don't play handheld games so much. Because when I'm on, like, you know, the time to play would be on the bus. That's, like, reading time for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still playing through Link Between Worlds, which is still amazing. There's so many great games on the 3DS. Mm-hmm. You know, I just haven't got enough time to play them all. That's why, like, I keep thinking, should I get a Vita? Because I've got PlayStation Plus and there's all these free games. I'm just like, I'll never play them. And, like, most of those games, I just can't be bothered dealing with them on the go. If I want to play, like, Nintendo just got that magic touch when it comes to handheld gaming. And despite it being standard def and stuff, these games still look fantastic. So stick with that. But yeah, Mario Golf is one of the games I've also played this week. I'll go through these pretty quickly. Call of Duty Ghosts, I've gone back to for some odd reason, been playing a bit online. Still playing Titanfall as well. I'm going to get the DLC. I never usually get DLC, but I really like Titanfall, so I'm going to get that. Street Fighter 4, I went back to briefly for some reason. Yeah, that game's fucking amazing. I finished Strider, which if you didn't listen to last 3 weeks ago podcast, whatever it was, it's an amazing game. One of the best kind of remakes in recent times, and I finally finished that. Peggle 2, because it's Peggle. And
Peggle's awesome.
And I've just downloaded...
Peggle's just come to the 360.
It's totally worth getting. I downloaded the DLC for it, hence why I've gone back to it, but... The other two games which have come out, again, available on 360 as well, Super Time Force and Child of Light.
Yeah.
Which are both balls deep.
Right.
That is my official review. 9.0 balls deep.
Ah.
On the... I haven't actually reviewed
this. I heard Child of Light was good in the same way South Park was, in that it's very simple, the art style is very distinct,
mm-hmm.
but you'll fire through it in about 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah, which is perfect.
Yeah.
I think every RPG should be about 10 to 12 hours because I know...
Because you have a job and a girlfriend and hobbies.
It's the reason I haven't actually got around to playing Lightning Returns yet. It's just because I know a lot of people don't like it, but I've quite enjoyed the Final Fantasy 13 series, one of the few. But I have not got the time to put 50 hours in. I still haven't played Ni No Kuni properly yet.
Mm.
And I've got Tales of Vesperia as well, which it's just sitting there waiting to be played. But I'm like, I haven't got 150 hours just knocking about to just blitz into these games. Was there anything else? There is one other game, but that's going to bring me round to this week's topic, so I'll let you. Don't bother with video games anymore. I don't even know why you're on this podcast, to be honest.
I've played a shitload of APB.
Oh, okay.
And APB.
Like your job.
And a little bit of APB Retribution, which is the mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no.
Nothing?
No.
How the hell have I been playing so much then? In fairness, most of those games. I've just kind of dipped a toe. The only game which I've really put a lot of time into, and it's going to bring me around to this week's topic of the week, is Dead Rising 3, which is amazing. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's everything I wanted Dead Rising 1 and 2 to be, but wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the more fun. Open world. Yeah, yeah. No, it's super fun. They've kept, like, everyone say, like, about it getting serious. It's not serious. Like, you know, it's as stupid as ever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you call it serious when the trailer involves you, like, strapping chainsaws and stuff to a giant one, like a trike with a giant front wheel?
Well, that's the thing. Like, the vehicle creation is great. The weapon creation is great. The fact that it's all open world, like, there's no load times when you're going from area to area. Everything just seems so much more streamlined than before. Like, before I used to enjoy it, but it just felt clunky to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now it all just works, and I'm amazed how much fun I'm having just killing zombies. And there are so many zombies on screen. It's
yeah.
When you're driving through on one, like, you know, you create a combination between a bike and a steamroller. And, you know, it shoots rockets as well. And you're just plowing through just thousands of zombies in front of you. And
yeah.
You're just mowing them down. And it, like, if you stop and look around, it's not the most visually impressive Xbox One game ever. It still looks pretty. But
I know the frame rate drops quite considerably when you do it.
It does a few times, but it never, like, it's never, like, serious. Like, you know,
enough
if you're playing
a
shooter or something like that, it's kind of, like, takes you out of the game. But it just didn't do that with this.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of all brings me back around to the fact that I honestly think the Xbox One launch lineup is so underrated. Like, you know, I go back and think how much I've enjoyed. So, like, the thing it's missing is, like, the killer app.
Uh-huh.
But then you think how many consoles really had killer apps other than, like, Mario 64 and, I don't know, Halo on the original Xbox. But, you know, with all those multi-platform games covering shooters and all that jazz, and then you add to that Killer Instinct, which I genuinely think is a brilliant fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Rising 3, which I've had so much fun with. I know a lot of people hate it. I fucking loved Rise. I thought that was, you know, and it was a great showcase for a new console. Like, it looked brilliant. And what was it? And Forza 5, which is a really well-made racer. You know, I look at that and plus the other games, I'm like, this launch lineup's amazing. And I just think all the kind of vitriol around the console, you know, it had that horrible, you know, reveal and stuff.
Yeah.
Has kind of taken the edge off what was, I suppose, a really, really strong launch lineup, I think.
I wouldn't say it's a really strong one. I'd say it's definitely tailored to your tastes.
It's tailored, maybe it is tailored specifically to my taste, but I can't, like, when has there been a better launch lineup? I tell you what, I was having a think about it, and surprisingly enough, one of the best launch lineups of recent time was actually the Vita. Was so front-loaded.
It had 26 games.
And so many of them were brilliant.
Yeah.
But then it didn't have anything else for, like, ever.
Yeah.
And, you know, Borderlands 2's come out and that's supposed to be a bit shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame.
Well,
yeah, the Vita's fine.
The Vita can't support it.
No, well, it... Yeah, it was never quite the PlayStation 3 in your hands they claimed it to be.
No.
And it just hasn't worked.
It would have been unreasonable to expect that.
Yeah. But then if you sell it as that, that's what people expect.
Yeah.
Which is to be understood, but... honestly, like, it was just when I was thinking about, like, the Xbox One launch lineup, you know, combining obviously the exclusive stuff with the myriad of third parties, but I was like, I can't think of many better launch lineups for any console. There have been better games, like,
yeah,
individual games, but in terms of, like, an actual lineup which covers all the bases, I'm like, there's not many out there.
Yeah, going back, I mean, I can remember the 360, there was a couple that I enjoyed, but none that have really stood the test of time.
The best of the 360, the one that really grabbed me and I thought, like, wowed me at launch was Project Gotham Racing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know,
but
I
once
take
again,
Project
that's
Gotham,
very much your kind of game.
Yeah, I'd take Project Gotham over 4 to 5 any day of the week, you know.
Uh-huh.
But
see, I condemned the one that I really enjoyed from the launch lineup.
That was good, yeah. I always thought, like, the launch lineup was tarnished by Perfect Dark Zero,
mm-hmm,
because that was one I was really looking forward to. And it was just a bit shit, wasn't it?
It was such a disappointment.
That was a mess. Because it had been in development for ages. But it was one of those games that felt like it had been in development for ages. Like, it never quite escaped its GameCube, Nintendo 64 roots, you know? Because
mm-hmm,
it was supposed to be an N64 game. Then it was going to be a GameCube game.
Yeah.
Then it was going to be an Xbox game. And then it ended up a 360 game, something stupid like that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was supposed to be an N64 game. But anyway, it had that huge long tail, and it felt old by the time we got to the 360.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean, it's still,
like,
I remember still being like, oh, it looks good, and then looking back, it just kind of looks shiny.
Yeah,
it was like J.J. Abrams had made it.
Yeah, well, that was the problem, like, the 360 had a lot, like, a lot of games looked shiny.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was a disappointment. But as I said, the thing is with the Xbox One launch lineup, there's no killer app, but there are I like most of the games. Like, I've played so many of the games from the launch. Like, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, mm-hmm. Battlefield, you know, all those exclusive titles I mentioned. It's like, I've enjoyed them all.
And you say from the launch... Oh, right, I guess, yeah, they were a launch, I guess. Yeah.
Need for Speed Most Wanted. Rivals. Mm-hmm. Love that game as well.
Yeah, it's weird to think of them as launch titles, actually, but you're right. It's like, just because they'd been out on other consoles before. Yeah.
But the thing is, for all this, I mean, and this will take us into the news now, is, you know, the Xbox One still can't outsell the PS4, and the PS4 hasn't really released a game yet. I mean, there was Infamous Second Son, mm-hmm. but that was up against Titanfall. I honestly, imagine if it had been the other way around, with all the, you know, the good vibes around PS4. If it had been the other way around, and PS4 had had Titanfall, mm-hmm. and Xbox One had had Second Son, the sales would have been... bad.
Yeah.
Like, they're lucky they're in touch simply because of Titanfall, because at the moment Sony still don't have to fucking do much. Like, but you know, they have announced a Kinectless Xbox now.
Yes.
Which, I mean, some people are going to be upset about. Like, oh, I paid the extra money. I quite like having the Kinect. I like using the voice commands and the menus. But
you got something for your money.
Yeah.
And people, see, this is the thing. This is what gets me, is that early adopters will complain
mm-hmm.
and say, oh, well, yeah. we didn't get anything. It's like, well, no, you got Titanfall. Like, why did you adopt early
yeah.
if you weren't excited about the games that you were getting when you bought it?
Yeah, let's not be idiots. Like, I bought a Wii U, I bought an Xbox One, and both of them were like...
I thought you said, let's not be idiots.
I love the Wii U, you get to fuck on that. But, you know, both those consoles were like £100 cheaper within a year.
Yeah.
But I wasn't getting my knickers in a twist, because I'm like, I knew this happens. If you're an early adopter, you're rolling the dice. You know, you get a console which isn't as good as it's going to be, and you're paying £100 more for it.
At least you guys aren't going through the same shit that I went through when I early adopted the 360, because the one I have just now is my fifth Xbox 360.
Mine is my fourth.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were. Although I did get the green screen of death, I didn't know it was a thing.
Is that the green and pink kind of?
On my Xbox One, sorry.
Oh, right.
Like, it went to load up and it just didn't do anything more, and I started checking online, and they started coming to the green screen of death. I was like, oh fuck, that sounds terrible.
Your sphincter would immediately just close over. Well, I was as you see it.
I was surprisingly calm in retrospect. I was just like, listen, if I gotta send this back, I'll send it back. But I was like, this is just gonna be annoying. But it fixed itself, so that's good. Sorry for the dead air. I was drinking water.
And I was yawning.
And you were, it was just bad timing. That's all that was. Yeah. So I think that's gonna make a difference for the Xbox One. You know, it's all about parity, I think, with price, and obviously, they're seeing what's happened in America. You know, for all the fact that Titanfall has sold extremely well, it's still behind in its kind of core territory to PlayStation.
There's rumors of a port to PlayStation.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I'll be interested to see if that happens. I mean, like all ports, though, you know, once 6 months have passed, something's lost.
Interest is waning.
Yeah, it's like when Bioshock came out, or when Metal Gear came to Xbox, or Grand Theft Auto came to the original Xbox. It was too little, too late. Like, people went out and bought it, but there was no excitement levels, because, you know, it was old hat by then, sadly. Yeah. I think this will make... Obviously, Xbox, Microsoft, are trying to get their shit in order ahead of... Because I think everything they're saying suggests they're very confident about their E3.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have a massive lineup.
I'm going to miss Jack Tretton.
You're going to miss Jack Tretton?
Yeah. But at least we've got Phil Spencer now for Xbox.
Yeah, I think he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the guy loves games.
Yeah, yeah. He talks a good
game. He's not going to be a... oh, yeah, we've got a game for people who don't want to... or don't want to have to go online.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, obviously, we had... you know, it's well documented that they were idiots. Like, they did some silly things last year. You know, they've shot themselves in the foot so spectacularly, because I think they've got a good console, and even the Kinect thing, I think they could have handled it better, because, you know, I'm happy to have my Kinect, completely in the knowledge that I have no interest in playing Kinect games.
Uh-huh.
I just like it as like an additional part of my console. Like, mm-hmm. I like the voice commands and stuff, but, you know, I think it's still a smart
move. Did you not say that Bethan and her friends quite like playing like the Just Dance games and stuff?
Yeah. They quite enjoyed stuff like that. And I had a go.
I imagine there'll be one of those coming for Christmas.
You think. And probably. Even Rivals, like, I had a quick go. Like, it worked. It was fine. Like, but it's
Ubisoft,
just not my interest.
Ubisoft, at their press conference, Aisha Tyler will come out and there'll be a There'll be a Just Dance
demo. You would
demo.
Think, wouldn't you? Yeah. I don't. I know the next big one for Kinect, I guess, is Fantasia, but again, these aren't for me.
Been pushed back, I've heard, I think.
I mean, I couldn't give a toss. I want to just play with the controller. I just don't care. But yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, even ahead of E3 now, you know, the announcements are starting to sneak out. I mean, one of the biggest ones is Halo 5,
mm-hmm.
which has been Halo 5 Guardians.
Yeah, it's got a subtitle.
Yeah.
Odd.
Odd indeed. And, you know, some of the way, you know, based on the press release, that initial press release, it almost sounds like it might have MMO elements. Like, you know, we could be looking at kind of a Destiny almost style game. But they said even beyond that, like, that won't be coming until 2015. But in 2014, we're still getting a Halo game.
No,
it sounds like it's going to be, there was a reveal today, like, I think it's going to be the Master Chief Collection. So it'll be Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4. But I don't know how remastered they're going to be. If it'll be, you know, completely, I can't imagine it's going to be the worst. If they're talking 4 games, it'll probably just be like, oh, we'll have them at 1080p. Yeah. You know, 60 frames.
They have quite heavily leaned towards Halo 2's remastering.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Halo 2, but I think what it's going to be is the Master Chief Collection, which will include a beta for or beta, whatever you want to call it, for Halo 5. So I think that's going to be the big thing this Christmas for Microsoft. But yeah, I mean, is that
it certainly worked for Crackdown having a beta for the next big.
That's how you get the fans back on board. Announce Crackdown 3.
They have been talking about that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I'd be well on board.
It makes me sad that, you know, the studio that I work in is from, like, a large number of them are from Real Time Worlds,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's no Crackdown talk in the office. I think it might just be that they're a bit sad.
Too tough. It was such a good game. And a lot of people badmouth Crackdown. I still like Crackdown 2.
I like it as well. I played like Crackdown 2 first.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I played the shit out of the first Crackdown when it first came out. But mind you, I rinsed the second one as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a great game. Like,
I love that flight suit, like, where you can glide around the city.
It's just, I don't know, they just got the whole superpower thing, and there's rarely been a game where I've been so compelled to collect things.
The just orbs.
The orbs, the noise, everything about it. Although saying that, Dead Rising 3, I can't quite stop myself from, like, trying to find all the blueprints for weapons and all the, like, the survivors and stuff. It's very compelling. But, again, it's not going to be for everyone. What else was the big review? Oh, Far Cry 4. Set in the Himalayas, has elephants.
Yeah.
I think we knew about that a while ago, in fairness, but it's now been confirmed that it'll be coming out this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Division has been delayed until at least summer 2015, which means it probably won't come out until Christmas 2015.
Yeah, that is what will happen.
But, you know, Ubisoft, they've got a good record of just saying, listen, we're not going to release it until it's good. And the games they do release on the button every year seem to be good anyway.
Well, we'll see, because Watch Dogs is imminent.
Yeah, I'm still not super excited about that.
No?
No.
Is it because you feel you've seen too much already?
Me? I haven't, to be honest. It's never really caught me. Like, I haven't watched many videos. Maybe it's because, I don't know, it's like, do I need another 30, 40 hour? Like, let's be honest, it's going to be like
a technological version of
Assassin's Creed. I'm like, I've hardly got enough time to be playing Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
Although I begrudgingly enjoyed the shit out of the last one.
Begrudgingly. I fucking hate how much I love this game.
Well, it was a bit like that, because it was just like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to play this, and I kind of bought it, and then I started playing. I was like, do I want to keep playing this? And I was like, well, yeah, because I'm really enjoying it. Why am I moaning about this? but yeah, I'm not super excited about that for some reason. It might be one of those games, like, the reviews will come out. I'm sure I'll give it a look at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be a good game. Ubisoft usually release good games for the most part. But
for the most part, yeah.
we'll see how it goes. Was there any other news? I'm not sure if there is. I was surprised, actually, to hear that, because I was, you know, looking into Mario Kart, about the fact that Mario Kart Wii is the second highest selling game of all time that isn't bundled, behind only Minecraft. And you think Minecraft, right. You know, Minecraft's been released on everything.
That's just come out on the PS3, I think.
And PS4, Xbox, like, it's coming out on PS4 and Xbox One, but it's been on all the handhelds, everything, you know. Whereas Mario Kart Wii was only on the Wii, and it is the second highest selling non-bundled game of all time. Which is just insane.
That is.
So, you know, you hear that and you think, you know, what chicken and the egg thing, is that going to be Is that simply because, you know, everyone had Nintendo Wii's and Mario Kart is vaguely appealing, so people went out and bought it? Or will this be... Because, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom around Nintendo at the moment, and they've been very pessimistic with their sales projections for the Wii U, saying, what is it, for the next, like, 6 months or year or something even, they were like, we're going to sell 3 million Wii yeah. U's, which is really... That's a really low... I'm not sure if they're lowballing it, because, you know, you've got Mario Kart and Smash Brothers coming out. I think
they are, slightly.
Sure, I mean, it'll be interesting. You've got to think, if a Mario Kart game reviewed as well as this, you know, people are saying this is the best Mario Kart since the Super NES release. If this can't shift Wii U's, what can... Well, I don't know, maybe the toys will. Because they're on about this new...
It's essentially Skylanders.
Skylanders, but with Nintendo figures. And you just think, well, if Nintendo do that, chances are they'll make a better game than both Disney Infinity and Skylanders. And there's no reason... I mean, you know, they have that kind of cachet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I kind of want little Mario toys.
Regardless of whether they are for video games or not.
Yeah, yeah. You just think, well, if they went, like, right into the Nintendo universe, I mean, it'd be amazing to see how far they expand out kind of thing. But you just got to think, you know, if they take it... They'll think that this is their chance for the Wii U to really hit big, I think. Like, this is the game, I think... You know, obviously, Mario Kart, you hope it'll sell well, but if anything's going to be the Wii U's brain training or the Wii U's Wii Sports, it's going to be this. Like, having the gamepad, you don't need an extra device. You just buy the little toys and they work with the actual gamepad.
Yeah.
If they can make the right kind of games. But, you know, I've said this before, oh, this could be the one that saves the Wii, and nothing has so far. People just don't seem fucking interested. But, you know, if I'm still a little concerned that if Mario Kart can't do it, you know, I might get another year of, you know, Wii U, and then next E3 they might be announcing a new console.
I'll be honest, there's no other game that's made me want a Wii U.
Other than Mario Kart?
Other than Mario Kart.
Not Wind Waker HD or...
Wind Waker, like, I've got a really nice copy of Wind Waker.
Yeah, I've got Wind Waker as well. I've got two copies of Wind Waker now. I want to keep my GameCube version because it's got, Ocarina of Time. But then I've got Ocarina of Time on my 3DS as well. I just begrudge, like, I just like to keep Zelda games.
Yeah, yeah. I've got things like the Four Swords Adventures, which I've never even played.
Yeah, you've got the that awesome GameCube collection as well, haven't you? Yeah. With all the older ones. It's weird, actually, because I went back, like, playing NES Remix. I'd never actually played the original Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's odd when you go back to those kind of games without the nostalgia attached.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clunky.
Yeah.
It's quite nice to go back and see, oh, like, the evolution of characters that I kind of picked up on, kind of even like, I never really got into it on the Super NES. Like, my first real kind of introduction to, well, the first game I really got into was Ocarina of Time. So to see that kind of go backwards and see the
I don't know if we've spoken about it, but there's some games that I know have massive fan bases and inform so much of the modern games industry,
mm-hmm.
they're seen as Nintendo classics, and I don't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I don't enjoy them. And things like 2D Zeldas and Metroid,
stuff like that,
just not a fan.
It's weird for those, because again, because I was more of a Mega Drive kid when I was younger, I never, like, I remember playing Super Metroid, but I only played it a little bit. And the same with Link between
Link to the Link's past.
Awakening.
All right.
Link's Awakening on the Super NES. Is that the Super NES one?
No, NES.
Maybe
it was SNES.
What was the Super NES one? Jesus Christ, this is like sacrilege. I can't even remember this. Zelda, a Link. Link in Time, Link for You. Whatever the fuck it was. You know, I never really played those 2D ones when I was younger. I kind of walked in on the 3D. And the same with Metroid. Like, the first Metroid I really got into was Metroid Prime.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have that same kind of, again, nostalgia with those games. I can still see that they're well made and you can kind of respect what they've done. But it's hard to go back to those if you don't have the memories attached to them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went back and I was playing the original Mario Brothers recently.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, arguably that's, like, a perfect game, though. I mean, that still stands up to in many respects because the platforming is still so tight.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still find it hard to judge that. I can sit here and say that, but there's still so much of it which is just attached to my childhood. And, you know, that's why I don't love Mario 2, although Mario 2 was a bit shit. Yeah. Even when I was younger, I remember, because it didn't feel like a Mario game. But yeah, that's maybe a conversation for another day. But I think that's pretty much all I've got this week. I mean, as I said, going to see Godzilla this week. In terms of games, I'll be playing more Dead Rising 3 until I get Mario Kart, but that's not until the end of the month. Titanfall as well, I'll be playing the shit out of that, I'm sure. Well, again, when I have the time, with work and life and everything getting in the way. I know, right? What the fuck?
It sucks.
Do you have anything you actually plan on playing, considering you haven't been playing anything?
It's really... I'm just trying to get my coursework done. I really want to play games.
Yeah. Any games you particularly want to
play? I mean, nothing really new. Like, Watch Dogs, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Yeah.
But I have played one round of Tiger Woods Golf. That was it. I needed to play... A game. Something that I could just play one round of and over with. So I can play a round of Tiger Woods.
That's what you do with like 3DS Mario Golf now. Just kind of step into that with all the like the cool little challenges.
I really, really, really want to play that game.
Even the demos, I kind of got caught up in some of the challenges. I'm not very good at that game, I found out.
I really hate golf.
Yeah, well,
I hate it.
Mario Golf in particular, it's all just to do with timing.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm sure some people like the Tiger Woods system, and it does work better for a kind of more simulated style of golf, but for like Mario Golf and the same as Hot Shots Golf, I like the 3-button press, you know, for the power and all that jazz. I just think that works well, and it feels more like a game rather than a sport, if you see what I mean. Because I
loved Wii Sports. Wii Sports was fun.
Yeah, that's the thing, like golf, like if I can just do it quickly, the problem is with actually playing and watching golf is there's a lot of walking from hole to hole, and a lot of me slicing the ball and me, I've got to walk all the way fucking there now. Whereas you play video games, it's just very quick.
Do you have a set of clubs?
No.
I was going to say.
I don't really enjoy golf. I've just played it like a friend's stag and like one of my friends going to it, so you occasionally go to like the driving range and stuff. But yeah, golf can...
Is that not quite satisfying though, just smacking the ball?
Yeah, when it works.
Yeah.
It's not when you fuck it up. Seriously.
Throw your club out.
Golf can fucking do one. Like, generally as a sport, it's just not for me. It would help actually in my... in terms of my career, I think, because working for a company like
Adidas
management, it definitely helps if you play golf. All the kind of, you know, top run managers and all the guys at the very top of Adidas are all golf players.
Yeah.
I just have no interest in golf whatsoever. I like football, hence why I'll be going home today and trying to figure out what I should watch, either Arsenal play Hull in the FA Cup final or the La Liga final game of the season, which is very
exciting.
Are you sure
you don't want to watch St Johnstone playing Dundee
United? Well,
that's
actually on beforehand. Are we supporting St Johnstone?
We certainly are.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Go St Johnstone. I don't really have any allegiances. I found out that geographically, by 0.1 of a mile, I should be a Hibs fan rather than a Hearts fan. But I don't give a fuck about either of them if I'm
going
to be...
Well, they're both going down, so...
Well, Hibs are in a playoff to go down, so they haven't been relegated, but they could well go down.
I really don't give a toss about football, Scottish football in particular.
Oh, I like football plenty. I mean, I was very much into Liverpool's title push, which was, you know, sadly ended in failure, but still a great season. I'm not going to go, and you know,
managed to say that without choking up.
I've got over it now. I got over it a few weeks before the end of the season, basically. As soon as Gerrard slipped in the Chelsea game, I think I got over it. But, you know, I'm going to the World Cup to, you know, watch them football. Sadly, no Wales, obviously. And no, you know, I'd love it if Scotland were there. I'd go there genuinely as a Scotland fan kind of thing. But, yeah, we're not going to get any of that. But, fuck, it's in Brazil. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I just basically hope I don't get mugged and raped.
Yeah.
That seems to be a problem. I'm not sure if rape's really a problem, but...
I don't know.
No, but muggings and...
I'm sure they'd make an exception for you if you asked.
I'm a handsome man. my wife often says I'm very rapeable, so there is that.
Yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable when she says that.
Yeah, I just don't know what she's going to do next, basically. I hope you don't plan on putting stuff in places. On that rather disturbing note, we'll call it to close this week. God, that was awkward. That was even more awkward than the rape joke. We're going to end now. You know, go St. Johnson, go Hull, maybe. And I know it goes against the grain, but I actually hope Barcelona beats Atletico Madrid because I've always quite liked Barcelona. But there you go. There you go. Come on, football. All right, so until next week...
Go sports.
Go sports. Bye.
Bye.